Morning. We are studying in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we referenced to Demas very briefly, but with the explanation that we would look at him more extensively during this worship hour. And the question is, what happened to Demas? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul, writing about Demas, says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And the word for love that is used there is the highest form of love that the original language of the New Testament has at its disposal. We have one English word for love that is plugged in many ways. The original language of the New Testament had about four different words, and the highest form was agape. And it says that Demas agaped the world. In other words, he made a deliberate choice to love the world. What happened to Demas? Why did this happen? And Demas is only mentioned three times in Scripture. The first time we see Demas mentioned, Philemon chapter 1, is only one chapter, but verse 24 says that Demas is a fellow laborer. He's listed in verse 24, Philemon, with about three or four other people, and he's called a fellow laborer. In Colossians 4, verse 14, he's simply mentioned by name. And then in 2 Timothy 4, it says that he has forsaken me. You see, you kind of get just a small picture of Demas' life from those three references. He goes from being fellow laborer to just being mentioned by name to being one who has forsaken not only the Apostle Paul, but obviously the Lord Himself. What happened to Demas? I want to suggest to you that if we will take a few minutes this morning and think about Demas' past, present, and future, at least the way perhaps Demas failed to view his past, failed to view his present, and failed to view his future, it will give us a little bit of a handle of what happened to him. And the reason that we are most interested in what happened to Demas is not so much about Demas himself. It's for my sake. Demas will answer for himself before the Lord someday, and I will answer for myself. And I want to learn what happened to this man who went from being a laborer to being a forsaker. I want to learn what happened to this man so that I can avoid that kind of scenario in my life. And so, with those thoughts in mind, let's spend a few minutes this morning thinking about some things that Demas failed to think about, some things that Demas failed to look at about his past, about his present, and about his future. Number one, I would suggest, in answer to the question of what happened to Demas, is that he looked at his past without discernment. This is something he failed to do about his past. He looked at it, but without discernment. This is something that he didn't have, and that was discernment about his past. In other words, this path that Demas found himself on that led him from being a fellow worker to a forsaker, he forgot where he started as a sinner lost without hope. And he failed to discern about where he had come from by the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, we read and are encouraged by the Word of God to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, or your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, Demas had failed to discern, had forgotten to discern about his past, that he was the old man that was growing corrupt in conduct, but now he had the opportunity, when he obeyed the gospel, to put on the new man that would grow in righteousness and holiness. He had forgotten that at one time, like us, He was a lost sinner without hope. Sometimes I forget as well. Sometimes I fail to look at my past and discern what's happened to me. And I have this lack of discernment about where I have come from. The Bible warns us about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. And there's a list in 2 Peter chapter 1 of characteristics beginning at verse 5 that we should add to our Christian walk. And as you look at those in verse 5, it's diligence and virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And that when we add these things to the new man that we become in Christ, the new person we become in Christ, verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then look at verse 9. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, there's a stern warning here, a solemn warning for all of us as children of God not to forget where we came from. Not to forget that at one time we were sinners, lost, without hope, helpless, condemned. And we must have the ability to remember that that's where we came from. We must be discerning enough in our mind and our memory that that's where we used to be. That's what we used to be described as. And that was who we were. But now, through the grace of God, my hearing the gospel, my believing the gospel, and ultimately obeying the gospel and turning from sin and being immersed in the name of Jesus, now I am the new man in Christ to grow in righteousness and holiness. And I have to discern about who I am now versus who I used to be. It is dangerous not to discern about your past. It is dangerous to live a life without any discernment about who you used to be. Look at what happened to Demas. In fact, you may recall the reading that we started with this morning from Hebrews chapter 6, when Enoch read that at the beginning of the worship hour, tells us that there are some people who fall away after having heard the gospel, after having been enlightened, after having been faithful, believing and obeying and following the Lord, but they fall away. And when they fall away, they find themselves in a very dangerous situation. One of the reasons people fall away is because they fail to discern. They fail to have this power of discernment about the old man and the new man, the lost man and the saved man. And we've got to discern about where we came from and where we are now. And when we fail, when we look in our past without that kind of discernment, well, we can potentially open ourselves up to a very dangerous path in our lives. But there's more to Demas in answering the question about what happened to him than just his past. There's also his present. You notice when we read that passage in 2 Timothy, it says that he had forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. So there's something about the present, and there's something about Demas' present situation, us looking back on it, of course, that we need to think about. And in answer to the question, what happened to Demas, well, we thought a little bit about his past, that he looked at it without discernment. But secondly, I think he looked at his present without dedication. What was the dedication? If he really was a Christian, and I believe that he was, I believe that he sincerely obeyed the gospel. He heard it. He was convicted of his sins. He turned from those sins in repentance. Obviously, at some point, he was immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. He was added to the church. There's no reason to doubt that he was, you know, unfaithful or insincere about that process in any way whatsoever. But now we find him, sometime later, with a very different description. No longer a fellow laborer, no longer just Demas, but one who is forsaken. And that's because when Demas looked at the present world that he lived in, something faltered. Something failed in his dedication. Something came loose. The wheels came off. And he had been called a fellow laborer, a worker. He had been dedicated. But now, no longer. Something in the world lured him away. Was he weary in well-doing? Galatians 6, verse 10. Was he too enticed by the glamour of the world versus the lackluster life of persecution and difficulty of being a co-worker with Paul? The devil and temptation. The devil and temptation will cause us to question our present dedication. And the devil and temptation will not only cause us to question our dedication, but will make it appear that there is something about the world and something about what the world has to offer that is better than what we have now. That is more enticing, more thrilling, more exciting than this everyday ho-hum Christian life that we live. And it will cause us, the devil will cause us, temptation will cause us to question, to begin to waver on our dedication. And we begin to compromise. And we begin to see more of the world than we see of Christ. And we begin to become more attached to the world than we have been attached to Christ. And then, someday like Demas, we will exchange our Christian life for the world. Because you see, the devil wants us to exchange the eternal for the temporary. The eternal for the external. He wants us to exchange the Savior for temporary comfort of this world. To exchange the everlasting for the neverlasting. To exchange the spiritual for the entertaining. To exchange the holy for the common. To exchange righteousness for the pleasures of sin that only last a season. And pretty soon our dedication is shaky. Then it's fuzzy. And then it's wavering. And then it's compromised. And then it's gone. And in answer to part of this question we're asking of what happened to Demas, he failed to look at his present life with dedication. Instead, he looked at the present without dedication. And you may recall that the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. Not on things of the earth. You see, this man had come to love the earth, the world. And it caused his dedication to fail. And so about his past, he looked at it without discernment. About his present condition and present life, he looked at it without dedication. But then this naturally leads us to the third leg of our question and the answer to it. What happened to Demas? What about his future?
You see, he looked at his future without deliberation. He looked at his future without deliberation. The Bible tells us, as we have been referring to the world in our text about Demas, refers to the world. The Bible tells us a tremendous fact about the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Remember, Demas loved the world. This is what he loved. And the world, verse 17, the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Now, when we think about that Demas did not look at his future with any kind of deliberation, we understand that in this part of the Bible, and that the world is passing away. The world and love of the world is not of the Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these don't come from God. And these are temporary. And the world and all that is in it, all that is we define as the world, all the pleasures, all the stuff of the world, look at verse 17 of 1 John 2, is passing away. Did Demas contemplate that? Did he deliberate this in his mind? Did he think about this? Did he put it on a scale? Or did he make a list and say, advantages to following Christ and advantages to following the world, disadvantages to following Christ and disadvantages to following Christ? Did he come up with a list? Did he come up with a scale? Because did he deliberate? Did he contemplate? Did he debate with himself about this? Did he ever think about, you know, I'm going to love the world, I'm going to plunge headlong, I'm going to agape, not just love the world, I'm going to agape the world. I'm making a deliberate choice to plunge in all the way with the world. Did he ever once stop to contemplate that it's not going to last? That it's just temporary? There is no permanence here. There is no eternal nature to the world. It's not even of God. And it's all passing away. You know, there are many statements in the Scriptures intended. They are put there with the intention to make you and me deliberate and contemplate our spiritual life. Choose this day whom you will serve. Set your house in order. Consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord. Think of how many statements there are in the Bible. Think of how many times God repeats basically the same principle, the same concept to you and me through the message of the Word. Think about what you're doing. Contemplate the consequences of your choices. Deliberate about your future. Because choices have consequences. And I've got to be as informed as I possibly can, and God has made available to me and you in His Word, sufficient, more than sufficient information to inform us about the outcome of certain decisions that you and I might make. Certain choices that you and I are faced with. And so what do we choose? If we look at our future without seriously deliberating and contemplating, we will often make a bad choice. If we don't stop and think about what we're doing, if we don't take the time to examine what the Scriptures have to say to us about the outcome of many of the choices that we make and the consequences of many of the choices that we make, if we don't care, if we ignore what we know to be the source to tell us the outcome of how this is going to end. I mean, our life here and for the future, our life, this is not a movie. This is not something that some fairy tale writer over in Hollywood or somewhere else wrote up, and then I'm going to see it for the first time, and boy, there's plot twists and there's turns, and I don't know how this thing's going to end. That is not our life. I've read the script, okay? And I know how it potentially can end and how it ought to end. You've got the script right there in your lap. Read it. Contemplate it. Deliberate it. Choices have consequences. And as we think about Demas and we come back to our text that we have launched off of, Perhaps this man saw the Apostle Paul in prison. No doubt, he had seen Paul with a lot of hardships. And he had seen the consequences of persecution on the Apostle. And he had witnessed firsthand and maybe even sometimes experienced firsthand the brunt of those who had opposition to Christ. And simply because he was a Christian, and because he stood for what was right, and because he preached the gospel of Jesus, sometimes he received a less than favorable welcome. Well, he saw all that. And he saw Paul in prison. And he saw all the consequences and the difficulties sometimes that Satan will heap on God's people. And then he saw the world and the glitz and the glamour and the come hither. And he looked back over here and he saw the filth and the trash and the squalor. And he looked back over here and he saw the gold and the silver. And he looked back over here and he saw the chains. And he looked over here, and he saw the freedom. And then he started making choices based on what he saw. And he started making choices. And as he chose, and I seriously doubt he jumped off the cliff all at once. We rarely do. No, we get to the edge of the precipice and we hang our feet over, and then very slowly we begin to descend this mountain of choices. And we choose just one little choice that turns us slightly away from this toward that. And then we go along and we choose another and another and another and another. And pretty soon we turn our back all the way to where we once were. Now we're looking full-fledged at the world and the thrill and the excitement. And Paul says, Demas has
forsaken me. The word there means he's let me down. He's turned away from me. In the same way that I could keep making choices as I look out at each one of you, and I could slowly turn and turn and turn, and now I have turned my back to you. I can't see you anymore. And if I can't see you, forsaking you doesn't hurt nearly as much. And if I can't see you doing things that you don't approve of, doesn't bother me nearly as much. And if I can't see you, I think you can't see me. And if I think you can't see me, then the gates of hell are wide open and I can do whatever I please. Because you can't see me. Because I have made choices that have turned me away from you. I don't know if this is where Demas' story ended. I don't know if he ended with his back turned to the Lord and will face judgment because of that. I don't know. But I do know, if that's where he was when he died, that's where he'll be at judgment. I don't know if that's the end of his story, but I do know that I can still make some choices as long as I'm breathing, and you can still make some choices as long as you're listening to the Word of God, that you can know the end of your story. You remember? We've read the script. We know how it ends. And you can make some choices, either to turn your back on the Lord who died and shed His blood to save your soul, or you can make some choices to do an about-face. It is time to do a 180. It is time for you to turn around. It is time for you to quit loving the world. It is time for you to discern. It is time for you to deliberate. It is time for you to give your life to Jesus. This morning, will you do that? Will you do that as we stand and as we sing this song to encourage you?